You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Today is Tuesday, June 9th. A new finding from the world's health leaders seems to contradict what we thought we knew about COVID-19 and how it spreads. We'll explain the evidence and how other experts are responding. Also, what to know about the just-revealed first-of-its-kind police reform bill. Plus, the rebound on Wall Street, newly popular vacation spots, and gun control on Looney Tunes. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Some of the world's leading health experts are now contradicting one key theory we've been told about the new coronavirus. The World Health Organization now says COVID-19 is rarely spread by people without symptoms. Of course, for months, we've been hearing quite the opposite. So we've been encouraged to wear face coverings in public and practice social distancing, even when we feel fine. But the WHO found new evidence when looking at contact tracing data from countries that track patients with and without symptoms, aka symptomatic and asymptomatic patients. Apparently, most of the people who came in contact with those asymptomatic patients did not actually get sick. So, the WHO told countries to focus more on tracing and warning people who had contact with others actually showing symptoms. Now, all of that said, it's causing some pushback and some confusion among other health experts who want to see the data for themselves. For example, the director of Harvard's Global Health Institute told the New York Times, "This could change our understanding of how the virus spreads, so the WHO needs to provide more information and context about this new finding." And other health experts were quick to point out several instances in which outbreaks were caused by people who did not know they had COVID-19. In fact, the CDC estimates about 40% of COVID-19 cases are transferred by people who look and feel healthy. So one possible explanation for this disconnect? An infectious disease specialist at Yale School of Medicine told CNN it probably comes down to asymptomatic versus pre-symptomatic cases, meaning those who never develop symptoms, maybe less contagious, versus those who are infected and spreading the virus but only show symptoms a few days later. For now, most experts say it's still possible someone who seems healthy could still be contagious, so don't stop social distancing. And either way, the U.S. is far from done with this pandemic. The Times found the number of new COVID-19 infections is going up in at least 20 states right now. Some of those with the biggest spikes are Florida, California, Arizona, and North Carolina. Still, there are just as many states seeing decreases in the number of new cases. The biggest progress is in previous hotspots like Illinois, New Jersey, and New York. Nearly 2 million Americans have now been diagnosed with COVID-19. And around the world, the number of confirmed cases surpassed 7 million. Well, today, the fourth and final service will be held for George Floyd. It'll be a private funeral and burial in Houston, Texas, where he grew up. But already yesterday, thousands of mourners showed up for the public memorial, exactly 2 weeks after Floyd died at the hands of Minneapolis police officers. Among those who attended were the families of other Black men who died in high-profile killings. We're talking about the families of Eric Garner, Michael Brown, Ahmaud Arbery, and Trayvon Martin. There were also leaders from both major political parties paying their respects. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, a Republican, spoke to reporters outside the Houston church saying, quote, "George Floyd is going to change the arc of the future of the United States." And then there was also Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden, who met privately with Floyd's relatives for more than an hour. The family's lawyer said Biden showed compassion that meant the world to the Floyds. And by the way, the ex-Minneapolis police officer charged with murdering Floyd faced a judge this week over video conference. The judge set Derek Chauvin's bail at $1 million with some conditions. His release would also be supervised. As of earlier this morning, though, he's still in jail. He's due back in court later this month. Well, Democrats unveiled a new police reform bill in Congress, and as Politico puts it, it's one of the most substantial proposals ever to target racism in law enforcement. Still, it would not cut off funding for police departments around the country, like we have heard talk of earlier this week. Instead, the so-called Justice in Policing Act would overhaul certain police procedures. So, for example, it would require all police officers undergo racial profiling training. It would also make sure all federal officers use dashboard cameras and body cameras. And it would create a national registry of officers with a history of aggressive behavior. The question now, will it actually become law? The bill is expected to pass quickly in the Democrat-led House, but it's still not clear what will happen in the Republican-led Senate. At this point, Senate Republicans have said they're open to discussing it and taking a look, so we'll see. President Trump has not commented on the bill itself, but he did write on Twitter the Democrats have gone crazy for wanting to defund and abolish the police. Now, to be clear, that's not really what this particular bill is all about, though separately, some protesters and officials around the country have pushed for that kind of thing this week. Remember, funding cuts have been proposed locally in cities like Minneapolis, Los Angeles, and New York City. And in case you were wondering, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden weighed in on this national debate. He says he does not support defunding the police. Instead, on CBS News, Biden suggested adding benchmarks for police departments to meet before they get federal funding. Expect to hear more about this issue in the weeks and months to come. There's been a big rebound on Wall Street. Stocks surged yesterday to levels we haven't seen since before the pandemic in the U.S. The Nasdaq closed at its first record high in nearly 4 months, and the S&P 500 erased all of its recent losses. So why is this happening now? Well, the Wall Street Journal credits the most recent jobs report. The unemployment rate is still high, but it was at least much lower than expected as some industries start to reopen. Still, economists told the AP, we're not in the clear just yet. Another wave of COVID-19 infections could trigger setbacks, and investors could be setting themselves up for disappointment. Also of note, the U.S. economy is now officially in a recession, and it has been since February. The National Bureau of Economic Research is the nonprofit who always decides these things, and the group just made the announcement. The recession started in February, officially ending the longest economic expansion on record. All right, so what's next? Well, for now, there's no end date to the recession, and economists are saying kind of different things about what to expect. Some told the New York Times the worst is already behind us, but a World Bank forecast this week says quite the opposite. It found the global economy as a whole will experience its deepest recession since World War II this year and won't rebound until next year. Of course, it could all depend on what happens next with COVID-19. To be continued. We have more news ahead, but first, let's take a minute to thank our sponsor, Care.com. Are you wearing multiple hats during this extra time at home? Or maybe you have an aging loved one who needs help with those everyday tasks? If so, you don't have to do this all alone. You can find a much-needed extra hand on Care.com. We're talking sitters, nannies, housekeepers, dog walkers, errand runners, landscapers, and more. Care.com is a platform for finding all kinds of services from local caregivers. And not only that, but Care.com also provides the tools and information to guide families through the hiring process. For example, I appreciate that Care.com provided me with the tools to access background check options, read reviews, and see qualifications and certifications when looking for potential services. And right now, you can save 30% off a Care.com premium membership. Just go to care.com/newsworthy or use the promo code newsworthy. Again, go to care.com/newsworthy or use the promo code newsworthy to save 30% off a Care.com premium membership. All right, now back to the news. It seems Airbnb is making a comeback. Between mid-May and early June, the vacation rental company actually booked more nights in the U.S. than it did during the same period last year. Bloomberg reports some of the most popular vacation spots include Southern California's Big Bear Lake and the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee and the Carolinas. This comes after just last month, Airbnb cut a quarter of its workforce. So no word yet if it's ready to bring back any staff. But it does seem like this uptick in reservations is not just a fluke. Airbnb competitor Vrbo is also seeing a rise in U.S. reservations. Google Maps is adding some new coronavirus alerts to its app. The notifications will give people a heads up about things like mask requirements or reduced capacity on buses and subways. Google is also making it easier for people to see how crowded public transit tends to be at different times, and it's compiling live data to give users a real-time look as well. The new features are launching over the next several weeks. Grocery shopping service Instacart is trying to put an end to so-called tip baiting. That's when someone promises their shopper a big tip, but then reduces it after their groceries are delivered. This has apparently become a huge issue in the past few months, so the company says it's only going to give customers 24 hours to change their tip versus the 3 days they get right now. USA Today reports it'll also make people justify why they're changing their tips, and if people do it too often, their account will be shut down. The new changes are in effect now. Cartoon characters Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam are turning in their weapons. They'll no longer carry guns in the Looney Tunes reboot, now streaming on the new HBO Max. Historically, Elmer Fudd has always carried a rifle, and Yosemite Sam has carried two pistols. But not anymore. The executive producer behind the reboot just says, quote, "We're not doing guns." Otherwise, he says the cartoons, which date back to the 1940s, still have their original feel. They'll be up to their same old shenanigans, dynamite, booby traps, and all. The throwback series started last week and is available on HBO Max. Astronomers made another baffling find. CNN reports they're tracking mysterious radio waves coming from deep space for only the second time ever. The waves are coming in bursts and sticking to a rhythm. They're emitted during a 90-day window before going silent for 67 days. The pattern just repeats itself over and over again, and no one knows exactly where it's coming from or why. Space.com reports some scientists theorize they're coming from a star, but still, that's just a guess. This is only the second time scientists have made a discovery like this. Remember, earlier this year, they stumbled on a different pattern of bursts that go on for 4 days and fall silent for 12. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening and making The Newsworthy part of your routine. As always, you can read more about any of the news stories mentioned at thenewsworthy.com/shownotes. The Newsworthy is ready for you every weekday by 4 in the morning. We'll be back with much more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.